Welcome to Roaming with Restless Women, real talk with wise, dynamic women leaders. I'm your host, Julie Noonan, CEO and founder of Intuitive Wisdom Coaching, and I'm living my dream life. I live and work in my RV, coaching senior women leaders as they navigate corporate politics, family drama, and personal goals to live their own dream lives. These women are restless. They are never done seeking new opportunities, learning, and creating value in the world. If you'd like to apply to be on the show, stick around to the end and I'll let you know how. Let's go. Good morning and welcome back to Roaming with Restless Women. Today I have an author with us. Her name is Allie Dalsimer. Allie is an award-winning author, life coach, and a motivational speaker. She holds degrees in English, which I do too, and psychology, which I don't, from the University of Richmond, and a master's in public policy from Georgetown University. During her 30-year environmental career, Allie received numerous awards for her contributions to conserving our nation's natural heritage. She also authored or co-authored more than 50 articles, reports, books, chapters, and brochures. In 2022, Allie ran for the U.S. Congress, bringing her passion for public service to the forefront. Her debut book, It's Okay Not to Be Fabulous Every Day, explores themes of self-discovery, personal growth, and the complexities of the human experience. Praised for its unflinching honesty and relatable narrative, Fabulous has earned multiple awards, including recognition as a CM Top 50 Nonfiction Book of 2024. That's amazing. As a speaker, Allie helps people going through changes and challenges see how worthy they really are, giving them the confidence to reach their full potential. When she's not writing, speaking, or coaching, Allie enjoys reading, spending time outdoors, and making memories with her two amazing kids and her chubby rescue cat, Puma. Welcome, Allie.
Thank you, Julie. I'm so glad to be here.
I love the name of your cat. It's just great. Oh, okay. So let's start off by you're basically telling me about your life up to the point where you wrote this book. Big topic.
Okay. And we have like 10 hours, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So in a nutshell, I grew up in traveling a great deal. My father was stationed overseas, so I spent the first 5 years of my life in Equatorial Africa. Then
wow.
I went to California, then Massachusetts, then Virginia. I went to high school in Pennsylvania, came back to Virginia for college, did end up settling here. In that time, I met a wonderful man, had two children. He passed 10 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, the day after his 52nd birthday. Yeah, so that was a challenge. I ended up, just going through life. We faced a number of challenges. The first year after he died, we had three house floods, two of which we actually had to move out of the house for. One time the water heater burst and it just like went everywhere. And then the other time I live in a little slab home and the water pipe, the main underneath the cement burst. So dig up the whole foundation. It was a nightmare. Whatever, you make it through these things. And then on the professional side, I graduated with these degrees, but suffered from some real low self-esteem issues. And that's a whole nother topic, of course, but ended up graduating with honors and blah, blah, blah. And due to those self-esteem issues, ended up waitressing and bartending for a few years, which I loved and was great at. Then I was seeing this person who, okay, I'll just put it out there. He decided he liked cocaine better than me. And he emptied my bank account and wrecked my car. So I'm, moved in with my mom and ended up going to a temp agency to try and find some work. And they sent me on two interviews. One was at a law firm. And I had always had an interest in the law, but the atmosphere was very, it was a corporate firm, and it wasn't for me. And then I went to a nonprofit group, super laid back, and I loved the ethic and I loved the people. And so I ended up spending the next 30 years of my life working in the environmental field, starting at this small nonprofit group and ending by managing the Department of Defense's Natural Resources Program at the headquarters level, a job which was eliminated during the first Trump administration. So, it's like, okay, 30 years down the tubes. And I hung at a shingle and started doing my own business, and then the pandemic hit. So my
Oh,
business.
honey. Oh.
And then of course, all the social issues and inequities that came up during the pandemic, and just so much was going on. I felt moved to run for public office, as you mentioned, during which my mother became terminally ill. And I ended
Oh.
up being her full-time caregiver while running for office and trying to deal with, raising two kids. I don't think I did any of them as well as I should have. She did end up passing that February. And in May, I ended the campaign. Although we got a lot of good things out of it, and I have no regrets and learned so much about myself, about who my friends really were,
Yeah.
about how politics really works. I mean, they say, it's awful. It's
Oh, yeah.
crazy. And then fast forward, I found myself that September alone in my house with my cat for the first time. I hadn't lived alone since I was, early 20s. And then I'd only lived alone for a year. My husband was gone, my mom was gone, both my kids had gone off to school. And I struggled. I struggled.
I'm
And
sure.
I ended up pulling out this life advice that I had given, that started for my kids after my husband died. And life gets busy when you stop doing things. And so I pulled up this document and ended up writing it and ended up, putting it out as a book. It's a little bit of a long story there. And now I've embraced the author life, and I've moved into motivational speaking because the message has just been well received. And poof, here I am with you.
That's amazing. Holy cow. To me, this is why I do this, is because there are so many people, but really women who have gone through so much that just stretches us. And instead of collapsing, the folks that I talk to have been able to struggle through. Hasn't been fun, hasn't been easy, but they look back and accept it with grace, and basically they make something out of it, and for other people, nine times out of 10. So, tell me a little bit more about the book. What kinds of advice, maybe a few snippets that you could share with us that you put in there?
So the book is categorized as self-help motivational, but it is not really a typical self-help book.
Okay.
The way I've structured it is there's a quote that comes from everything from Yoda to Led Zeppelin to Lao Tzu to Dory from Finding Nemo.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I spend the next two or three pages either sharing a personal story or providing some anecdotes or information. And through sharing my take on things, I'm hoping that people will be able to interpret what I have written and apply it to their own lives. And so we start from a place of kind of despondency, sadness, grief, a negative place where maybe we don't feel so good about our lives or who we are. And the subtitle of the book is A Journey to Self-Discovery. And through the book, I'm trying to take readers on a journey from sort of that place of where they are through self-acceptance and love and self-kindness, because we're so quick to be forgiving and kind to other people, and we forget to do it for ourselves. We are our own worst critics. And
Oh,
so I take
totally.
them through that to a place of hopefully not only self-acceptance, but self-love and self-worth and set them on this path through these stepping stones in this art to what I call embracing their inner fabulosity and really understanding that it's our perfect imperfections that make us who we are, and then help them launch into the lives they were meant to lead. Because so many of us spend our lives doing things because society or family or culture or whatever expects us to do them. And we forget that we had dreams as kids. We had things we wanted to do and achieve. And I did that. Like I made all those mistakes, and try to really help people embrace that they can do it. If they, if there's a will, there's a way. They will find a way. And if they're not finding a way, is it really something they want to do, or is it something they feel like they should be doing, which is very different.
Very,
Yeah.
very different.
Very, very different. And so in the end, it's not a one and done book. It's pick it up, put it down, leaf through. Some people use it as a daily meditation. I had one man tell me that he has a discussion group where once a week he and his friends get together and they randomly pick passages from my book and spend an hour discussing those passages. So, it's a very flexible, it's not a one size fits all, because the entire point is to provide a framework, a flexible framework that people can
Gotcha.
embrace and then apply to themselves and mold it to their lives and their experiences.
So you mentioned that you didn't have a whole lot of self-confidence early on. And so this book sounds like you have a tremendous amount of self-confidence. When was it along your journey that you decided, I'm going to love myself?
Yeah, well, that's a process, as you know, we all know that is a process. And I will be honest, and I'm a big believer in fake it till you make it. Just fake it. I think I am not uncommon in putting on this face of I got it together, I am bold, I can do it, and inside being like, oh my God, what am I doing? Certainly, that's how I came up with the title of the book, because I felt the need to be fabulous every day. I am competent. I am with it. I can handle this. My husband's dying. No problem. I can do it. I can work full time, raise two kids, and care for him. I can do that. Oh, okay. Now he's passed. Okay. Well, I can, be there for my kids. I can be both parents and blah, 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 blah. I can run for office and I can, glad hand and talk to all these people, some of whom are saying some horrible, horrible things to me, but that's okay. And inside, it's like, what? Right? And it really hasn't been until, I find this so crazy, Julie, but after I put the book out, even when I put the book out, I'm like, my kids were like, you really need to put this out. We shared it with our friends. They're going to love it. And I was like, okay. I mean, I put some personal things in there and I'm like, I just never want to talk to anybody because I've shared so much. And then I started getting these emails or comments and it was like, oh my gosh. And suddenly I was like, oh my gosh, this is one person said to me, I read your book and I felt seen for the first time. And I was like, what? And so the process of having published this book and putting it out there and getting the feedback has actually allowed me to help continue my journey and finally realize that I am worthwhile, that my dreams are worth pursuing. So it's kind of it's a little bit chicken egg, but you know what? It's a feedback loop. It's a feedback loop. And the more I do it, the more confident I get. And it's been really an unexpected and in many ways a very humbling gift. And I feel a lot of gratitude for the reception that the book has received.
This episode is sponsored by me. So as a special gift to you, our listeners, I offer a free one-on-one 15-minute breakthrough session. Bring a problem and experience how coaching works to see if it could be of value to you. Sign up for an available time on my website, intuitivewisdomcoach.com.
Tell me about running for Congress. Maybe that's not a great journey for you or a great story, but given the situation now politically, what does it really take? If there's somebody out there thinking, I want to run, I want to make a difference, give them some advice on what to expect.
Well, first of all, I would say it's so much more than you think. No matter how much you think it is, it's more than that.
Okay.
It's an overwhelming amount of moving parts to run for office, especially higher office. And people who are in the political realm, there are those who genuinely want to make a positive difference. But the reality is that there is so much corruption and corporate influence and deceit that it's hard to trust people, first of all. I mean, I came from the environmental world where everybody is working towards a common good. Everybody, wants what's best. They're coming at it from different perspectives. You have
Right.
your hunters and fishermen who are consumptive users. You have your preservationists who want to keep everything pristine and what is, you think these are, very diametrically opposed kinds of things. You have ranchers who are upset with wolves coming in and people who are protecting wolves because they want them reintroduced and whatever. But the reality is, it all comes down to we all want to conserve the resource for whatever use it is. There's a common
Right.
platform. That is not the case in politics. People, you can't trust them. They have ulterior motives they won't share. There's a lot of trading and whatever. The man that I ran against actually did things that were just illegal. He infiltrated the local Democratic Party and got access to my data, and his campaign manager went through my data, and it's like, and so I tried to report that, but there was influence in the headquarters in Richmond, and so it was nothing. I tried to put my message out in different places. There was the district supervisor refused to allow me to speak at a public place, a public event. By it, you know what? It's just the law a lot.
Wow.
In addition to which, the mechanics of it, you have to figure out your fundraising. You have to get your software. You have to find your names, who you target. You have to bring on a team to help you with all kinds of things. You have to have, people to door knock and canvass, and it's just so much. Having said all that, if
Yes.
you are truly moved and passionate and want to make a difference, which I was, you have to be willing to do that. You have to be willing to work. I think I work on average 14 hours a day, except Sunday, I work maybe 6 or 8 hours a day. Going to events or responding to people, putting out a newsletter, these things. If you're willing to put that out there, if you care enough to do that, then I encourage you to do it. I just encourage you to be smart about it, and be careful who you trust. Make sure that the people you bring on. We brought on one woman and found out later that she was actually working for the opposition. So,
Oh my goodness.
yeah. So, she lied. She just flat out lied. Oh, the lying is just crazy. We put a thing out on Indeed to bring in someone who could handle this particular software that we had. And my son was acting as my interim campaign manager at the time. He's brilliant with this stuff. And so he was handling the preliminary interviews because, I was doing all kinds of other things. And he comes to me and he tells me this woman applied for the job, applied for this job where it says in the thing, you must have experience with this software, very specific. And
No.
we and so he finally says, he's trying to talk with her, and he says, well, which aspect of this thing is do you find the most elegant, or something like that? And she's apparently she pauses for a minute and says, well, actually, I've never used that system, but I know I could learn it. It was like, what?
Oh,
And that to
man.
me embodies my political experience. But on the other hand, from a personal perspective, because I did have to be fabulous every day. I had to go out onto that train platform, smile, shake hands, go to that event. My mother is at home dying, and I'm like, hi, it's so great to meet you. Yes, I know. I'd be happy to talk with you about this particular issue that is of importance to you. Going through that, actually, you asked me earlier, when did I get that confidence? Going through that experience gave me a lot of confidence because I realized I could do it. And even more, our opponent he copied our logo. He stole platform issues and put them out as his own. He did all kinds of things. Now, the upside was that information got out to people. He took legislation criticisms. When I said he hadn't signed certain pieces of legislation, he signed them after not signing them for 2, 3, sometimes 4 years. He signed them. So our campaign did a lot of good. Like, we helped the people in this district, and that was in power, right?
That's
So
great.
ironically, this horrible experience of going through it helped me embrace that I'm a badass. I can do anything, you know? I can do
Yeah.
it. And I think that in terms of, that the point of your podcast is really to share information with younger generations, right? So that they can learn and be emboldened. And you know what? Don't let people intimidate you. And don't think just because, I mean, technically we fail, right? I wasn't elected. But you know what? I feel like I succeeded. I changed things that happened here. I personally grew. I got to meet some amazing, amazing people. I found out who my real friends were. There's a lot that came out of it that has emboldened me and given me confidence and helped me grow and move forward. So I would say to people, if you have a passion and you really want to do it, but step in with eyes wide open and with a support system and a network already in place that includes people you trust. Don't try to find people in the political system because, I mean, you need to for your bigger positions. You want people with experience, but in terms of your inner circle, have people you trust because there's just a lot of chaff out there among the wheat.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wow. So tell me about some of your speaking engagements that you've done recently.
Yeah, well, that's a burgeoning thing. I'm really into it. I mean, I did quite a bit of speaking during my professional career, at meetings and conferences and whatever. That was always about the environmental work I was doing or something like that. So I had a great deal of public speaking experience. But once I put this book out, I've gone and spoken to a couple of small groups, bookstores, library, that kind of thing, women's group, just a few people at a time, and just been encouraged to do more of it. And I thought, I need to do this on a bigger scale. So I've been learning about public speaking. I'm sort of a burgeoning public speaker, and I've given an Amazon Live presentation, that was something new and different for me. And I've spoken via Zoom at a couple college events, and I have an event coming up in late June. And that's it so far. We'll move into it. My kids are both home for bits of the summer, and I haven't seen them for a long time. My daughter's been away at school, and I haven't seen her since Christmas. And my son is very busy, and I see him here and there. But this week has been the first week we've been together since December. So haven't seen any time, spend as much time this summer with them. So I probably won't be doing a whole lot of pursuing that. I'm really focusing on my writing for this summer, but in the fall I plan to really push into that a lot. So
So
if
what's next?
anybody who's looking for a motivational speaker, let me
Okay. That's
know.
a hey, you guys out there, you're hearing it. Okay, so you mentioned you were going to be writing this summer as well as spending time with your kids. What's next? What are you writing next?
Thank you for asking. So, I've really embraced this, like, let's try everything. I'm like, should have done this 4 decades ago, but I'm doing it now. So I've decided I want to try and write a book, at least one book in as many different genres as I can. So I've drafted a manuscript for middle graders, upper middle graders. It's about a mouse who befriends a cat who he at first thinks is a duck. But he's not. I've got that manuscript in place, and it's just sitting, and I need to go back to it and rework it, and I'll revise it. And currently I'm working on a manuscript, which is a new adult novel. It's a spicy romance, a little bit of thriller in there. And I've got the structure in place, the first draft in place. It's actually a little long. It's 100,000 words, which for context is like 800 pages. So it's a little long.
You got a little, a lot of spicy going on over there.
There actually is quite a bit of spicy going on in there. I have not shared it with anybody because, But
Yeah.
so my goal for the summer is to hopefully complete both of those manuscripts. That's what I'd like to do.
Oh, that sounds brilliant. I
Yeah.
can't wait. You definitely need to let us know when the
Okay, I
spicy
will.
book comes out.
Okay, I will.
Well, where can people find you? How do they get a hold of you if they want to talk with you?
The best way is to go to my website, alliedalsimer.com, and if you hit /newsletter, you can sign up for my newsletter. It's free, comes out just twice a month, and I put all kinds of things in there, life advice, helpful tools and resources. For the summer, I'm going to be a little more lighthearted. We did a vacay, staycay issue last time, and it's just an easy, fun newsletter. And then socials. I'm on all the socials, though. I'm on Instagram the most, and I'm at Allie Dalsimer there. Just Google me. I'm the only Allie Dalsimer on the planet, so you can find me.
Oh, you're lucky that way then. Well, I think you sent me all of those links and I will put them in the show notes. And I have three questions that I ask
Okay,
of
that's great.
every guest that I have. The first one, if you can close your eyes just for a moment and in your mind's eye, describe what you see when I say wise woman.
I see my mother. I see my mother when she was younger. She used to smoke, so I see her smoking a cigarette with her elbow on her arm, talking to me like this, like giving me a life lesson. That's what I see.
I think a lot of us can relate to that one. Yeah, the mother lecture that we didn't appreciate when it was
Yeah.
right in front of
Well,
us, right?
my mom never lectured me. Actually,
Oh,
she
that's
never lectured me.
great.
No, in fact, maybe this is where I get it. She would tell me stories. So if I
Oh,
was having an issue, she
yeah.
would say, "Well, this one time when I was talking to the president of Burkina Faso, we were talking about blah blah blah." Or there was this time where I was meeting with these civil rights leaders. I was like, and she would
Oh,
tell me stories.
wow. How
So,
beautiful. That's terrific.
yeah, she
So,
had.
wise women are storytellers. I love
Wise
that.
women are storytellers.
There we go. Where do you like to roam?
I like to roam in my mind. That is
Yeah.
my favorite place to go roaming because it is the most creative space that I know of.
That's beautiful. You're the second person out of 98 that has said their mind. Yes, I love that. And what makes you restless in a good way?
All the things that I haven't yet done. Yeah. Like I really, it's so interesting, Julie, because as I have learned to really like myself and love myself and realize that I'm a worthy, worthwhile person, suddenly I want to do all kinds of things. When I was feeling low self-esteem and whatever, I just wanted to curl up. It's like, yeah, I'm just gonna watch Netflix. Chillax, have some Ben and Jerry's. Now I'm like, let's go do this. I have wanted to go skydiving since I was 40. Like, why haven't I? Well, since before I was 40, I wanted to go skydiving forever. And I've never done it. I was going to do it when I turned 40, but being late to the game, I had a newborn at that time. So now I'm like, okay, you know what? This might be the summer. Like, my son and I are talking about maybe in August. I'm like, yeah. So what makes me restless? You know what makes me restless? My own confidence.
There you go. I love it. So it has spurred you into action.
It has. And it
That's
can spur
beautiful.
everyone into action. That's the whole point of my book. That's the whole point of my messaging. Success is, there's no, it's like you were talking about, there's no end point to success. You simply step in to your future potential, your future happiness, your future whatever. It's There's just, you keep moving forward, and it's
Make it
exciting.
happen.
Make it
Make it
happen.
happen. I love it.
It's like, just do it. That's one of my titles. Like, just do it. And it starts, just do it. So easy, except for that doing part.
Well,
Yeah.
I love this conversation. And thank you, Allie, for being here with us. Your story and your journey is amazing. And I am going to take a look at your fabulous book because some days Even the best of us need that little push, right, to be fabulous.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, then thank you. I've really enjoyed being on here. This has been great.
Well, terrific. I'm glad you did. Thank you, everyone, for watching, and we'll make sure you look at the show notes, and we'll catch you next time.
Julie Noonan here. Thank you so much for listening to Roaming with Restless Women. If you're a successful senior woman leader who would like to be on this program, please visit podcast.intuitivewisdomcoach.com. If you enjoyed this interview, please share this episode on social media and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Your thumbs ups and reviews go a long way.